Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, what happened?
You're going to say, please, please, Mr. President, we can't stand it anymore. We don't want to keep winning. And I'm going to say, I don't care. We're going to make America great again.
I am so, so thrilled and so grateful to all of my supporters out there.
We are the only campaign that has beaten and can beat Donald Trump.
What happened?
What's up?
We lost yesterday in Nevada by 5 points. A month ago, we were 25 points behind. If you look at the national polls, those numbers are tightening up.
I have a 15-year record of turning conservative ideas into conservative policy. I didn't become a conservative 2 years ago.
The people of Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina have spoken, and I really respect their decision. So tonight, I am suspending my campaign. Yeah, yeah.
Now we're through the looking glass here, people.
We won with everything.
White is black, and black is white.
Tall people, short people, fat people, skinny people, just won.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry. Thank you so much for listening. The show must go on. The two parties will crisscross this week. Democrats vote in South Carolina on Saturday, Republicans tomorrow in Nevada. But instead of the politics, today we want to focus on how one candidate has essentially made 2016 his personal performance space.
I am going to be the greatest president that God ever created.
America cannot take its eyes off of Donald Trump. And even when we're all watching, his shifting answers and half-truths never seem to catch up with him the way they would with another candidate. Listen to Trump here talking about the Iraq War at the Republican debate in South Carolina last week. He's very explicitly saying that George W. Bush lied to get us into the war.
You do whatever you want. You call it whatever you want. I want to tell you, they lied.
Okay.
They said there were weapons of mass destruction. There were none. And they knew there were none. There were no weapons of mass destruction.
Okay, all right.
Just a few days later at a CNN town hall, challenged on the notion that George Bush lied to get us into Iraq, listen to what Trump had to say.
I'm not talking about lying. I'm not talking about not lying. Nobody really knows why we went into Iraq.
And that right there is the Donald Trump way, brushing off previous answers, staying one step ahead of candidates or reporters, using his own standard of truthfulness. These skills are not new to Donald Trump. Many of them might seem like the reality star he was on The Apprentice for more than 10 years. The reality show star, yes, but Trump used many of the same tactics in business throughout his career, managing the media message, managing rivals, and making deals. So today we want to take a couple of minutes and look at Trump 2016 through the lens of reality television, but also through the lens of his career in business in the 80s and 90s, the tactics that made him so successful managing the media and managing his rivals. Here with us is Mark Singer, a staff writer for The New Yorker, who first wrote about Donald Trump as a performance artist in 1997, and also Eli Addy. He's a TV writer and producer whose credits include The West Wing. He was also chief speechwriter for Vice President Al Gore. Gentlemen, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi.
Hi.
Mark Singer, let me start with you, because back in this piece in 1997, which holds up remarkably, by the way, after 20 years, you talk about a Donald Trump who uses what you call simulated intimacy with whoever he's talking about, that he never budges from his persona. He stays in character at all times when he's managing people. And I thought, gosh, I can really see that at these rallies. I can see that in the interviews he does today.
Yes. He does that. Simulated intimacy, of course, is what a salesman has to offer. It's not the real thing. It's not real friendship. And but within that simulated intimacy is an underlying fact that the world revolves around Trump. He's not really thinking much about the other person. This is a person who operates out of instinct, of course, far more than out of intellect.
Except that it's never not worked for him. It seems to have been a successful strategy in his business dealings, dealings with the press, people like you, even back then.
I think it works to the extent that people don't look carefully. If you look carefully at Trump, as I tried to do originally, you see that there's a great deal of the smoke and mirrors that are involved in maintaining the illusion. Look, all these buildings that have Trump's name on them, those are not owned by Donald Trump. Those are one way or another owned by his moneyed partners, condominium associations, whatever. Trump's great achievement was branding himself with a product, real estate, that no one had ever quite branded that way before. And he has been a master of maintaining a number of illusions about himself. And right now, he's offering the illusion that he actually has something to offer the American people that is real. That's real, but in his case, I don't think he's given much thought to governing. I don't know that he's given much thought to what's going on beyond the immediate process of getting elected. He clearly, when you look around, is caught up in a game of his own devising, he thinks, but there's a larger game that it's a part of. And that's the reality distortion that he generates.
Eli Addy, let's look at the world of television, because there is this tendency to interpret Donald Trump just as the reality star he has been for the last 10 years or whatever. Somebody who kind of understands the cadence of reality television, the ever-shifting plots, give him something new, keep him talking. Is it as simple as that when we watch Donald Trump on TV?
No, it's not as simple as that. But, you know, it's interesting because in my business, which is developing scripted television, there are now something like, I don't know, 400 or 500 different television shows on the air, on streaming channels, on cable. And Trump came of age as a TV star when all these programming options were exploding. And a word you hear now a lot in scripted television is noisy. What's going to make this character noisy? What's going to make the show noisy? Something like Cookie on the show Empire, you know, who does and says outrageous things, and you kind of can't wait to see what she's going to do next. He is the perfect TV star for this era because, you know, he was able to stand out as the star of The Apprentice among those, you know, God knows how many reality TV shows, 400, 600. And that's really what he did, maybe unwittingly, in the Republican race. He had no way of knowing he was going to run against such a giant field of also-rans. So I think some of it is that. Some of it is just knowing how to stand out. But the other thing is, as Mark was saying, it's so untethered to reality. This is a campaign that couldn't – I mean, that's the irony. You know, reality TV is actually very scripted, and teams of writers – they don't always have the title of writers – are trying to figure out, you know, what outrageous, salacious thing, you know, the characters can do next. And that's what Trump does in his campaign. And it's a campaign that you couldn't run if you'd even been a dog catcher for 10 minutes, because there's no thought given to the consequences of those promises, the things he says on the stump, you know, what he would actually do if he got elected.
Okay, promises are one thing, Eli Addy, but what about the 180-degree shifts? I mean, I just played for you a minute ago an example of Donald Trump saying George W. Bush lied to get us into Iraq. A couple of days later, he said, well, I don't know about lied, whatever, moved on. No consequences. No other candidate on the Republican or Democratic side could do this.
Politics are so polarized now. I think you could say there really are a number of different realities, right? Take the idea that tax cuts grow the economy, which was rejected as false by every serious economist in America. It's not considered a lie. Every Republican office holder just about still says that. So the question isn't how much you bend the truth, I think. It's how you react when you're caught. And Trump doesn't react. He doesn't admit he's lying. He doesn't apologize. He doesn't retreat from anything he said. So there's no piece of footage of him, like almost every other politician, fumbling, dissembling, trying to explain away a gaffe. In his reality, there really are no gaffes. There are no lies. So as sheer performance, which is what this candidacy is, it's seamless. In some ways, it's perfection. He creates his own reality. And, you know, some people dismiss him as a liar. He is a liar. Look, I think it's performance art. I think he has kind of created a persona, and he's selling it as hard as he can. And you know, outrageousness has worked for him.
One of the problems here, though, Mark Singer, is that there seems to be already a self-defined, predefined basis of the Trump campaign, which is any bad thing a reporter says about him, any fact check, is just the media trying to tear him down, and we're sick of the media too.
Trump has a percentage of a percentage, a fraction. He doesn't have a majority of American voters on his side. So while he's getting away with that now, there's no guarantee that he's going to be able to persuade 50% of American voters that what he's saying, that he cannot be held to account for what he says.
Well, we spent a lot of time sort of sneering, I think, at the way Donald Trump conducts himself in the campaign. But Mark Singer, he is the Republican frontrunner. He's probably going to be the nominee at this point. You're here arguing that it's only a fraction of voters who've signed on to this, and that when it gets really real, he's not going to be able to keep the carnival going?
I think that he's going to have to answer questions in a way that he has not had to answer them previously. We'll see. So there is so much contempt for the press, and Trump is able to press that hating the press button inside people with success. It doesn't help that Hillary Clinton distorts a lot. I think that that is what's another issue. If they create a false equivalency about lying, then maybe he won't be held to account the way he needs to be. But if she could make fewer unforced errors, assuming she's going to be the nominee, I do assume that, by the way. I could be wrong, but I think that it's going to be very difficult for the press to make the truth stick. Right now, the truth isn't hurting Donald Trump.
Eli Addy says that Donald Trump wants to win but doesn't necessarily want to be president. The Donald Trump that you know, Mark Singer, do you agree with that?
I think he's given very little thought to being president other than, yes, it would be nice to win. I don't think he has a clue how to govern, and I don't think it's was in his mind when he first got into this, and he has not given any practical indication that he cares about governing as much as he cares about ruling.
Reality television and the reality of the modern political campaign. Donald Trump sits atop the Republican field, winning 2 for 3 with a big win in South Carolina Saturday. Mark Singer, staff writer for The New Yorker, and Eli Addy, TV writer and producer, and chief speechwriter for Vice President Al Gore. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.